The Magnifier, issue number 106, January through March 2017. Quiet Car Safety Standard. The U.S. Department of Transportation's National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is adding a sound requirement for all newly manufactured hybrid and electric light-duty vehicles to help protect pedestrians. The new federal safety standard will help pedestrians who are blind, have low vision, and other pedestrians detect the presence, direction, and location of these vehicles when they are traveling at low speeds, which will help prevent about 2,400 pedestrian injuries each year. "We all depend on our senses to alert us to possible danger," said U.S. Transportation Secretary Anthony Fox. "With more, quieter, hybrid, and electric cars on the road, the ability for all pedestrians to hear as well as see the cars becomes an important factor of reducing the risk of possible crashes and improving safety. This regulation will ensure that blind Americans can continue to travel safely and independently as we work, learn, shop, and engage in all facets of community life." The Value of Occupational Therapy, written by Dan Roberts and sourced from the Investigative Ophthalmology and Visual Science. A new study published in March 8th edition of Investigative Ophthalmology and Visual Science has concluded that low vision patients who improve in their daily living activities through at-home training with an occupational therapist have less severe symptoms of depression than similar patients who did not receive such training. Using outcomes from a recently completed clinical trial, the Low Vision Depression Prevention Trial in Age-Related Macular Degeneration, otherwise known as VITAL, V-I-T-A-L, study, 188 senior adults with low vision from age-related macular degeneration were evaluated. The patients reported borderline depressive symptoms, scoring greater than 5 on the patient health questionnaire. They were divided into an occupational therapy group and a supportive therapy group. The occupational therapy group met with an occupational therapist for 6 one-hour sessions in their homes. The supportive therapy group met with a social worker for 6 one-hour sessions of talk therapy, which emphasized personal expression about loss and disability. This group got attention and empathetic support, but not the specific occupational therapy directed to improve their ability to function. 4 months after treatment, 26% of the supportive therapy patients reported that their depression symptoms worsened, while only 12% of the occupational therapy patients reported worsening symptoms. This is further science-based evidence that occupational therapy is effective in helping to maintain the quality of life of those affected by age-related macular degeneration, and by extension, similar diseases of the retina leading to central vision loss. Bright Flash Photography, A Thing of the Past, by Dan Roberts from MD Support. MD Support and the Macular Degeneration Foundation communicate with thousands of patients who undergo periodic eye exams for diagnosis and treatment of macular degeneration, glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy, and other chronic diseases. Many have asked if there is an alternative to the uncomfortable and potentially harmful practice of dilated pupil fluorescein angiography, which we'll refer to as FA, and slit lamp examination. One answer to this question has come during the past 15 years with simultaneous development of 2 effective imaging methods. Those methods are OCT, optical coherence tomography, a kind of optical sonar using invisible light, and non-mydriatic, we'll refer in the future as non-MYD, non-mydriatic photography requiring little or no dilation and a soft light flash. These improvements in clinical practice are helping to relieve patients' fear of discomfort and possible photothermal damage. As a result, patient volume can be expected to increase, resulting in higher detection of chronic eye disease development and progression. Fortunately, since OCT and non-MYD imaging have grown more common, patients are less frequently exposed to the bright flashes of FA. When they are, it is either because their doctors have not yet made the switch or because OCT and non-MYD cameras cannot provide sufficient information. Another commonly used instrument is a high-intensity slit lamp, with which the doctor scans the interior of the eye with a thin sheet of light. Since exposure of the retina is less than FA, it is more comfortable for patients and it poses less risk to the tissue. A slit lamp is not a perfect solution to the issues of discomfort and foamothermal damage, but for now it has to be an acceptable alternative to FA for obtaining a full view of the interior segments. In a recent interview, Bruce Rosenthal, OD, Lighthouse Guild, New York City, said FA may be necessary in cases of a sudden drop in vision, new or large floaters, high or pathological myopia, or histories of retinal detachments and other risk factors. Except for those special circumstances, however, OCT is strongly favored for its high-quality imaging and wide-field view. OCT is used by ophthalmologists to view cross-sections of the retina layer and anterior segment of eyes affected by glaucoma, retinal degenerative diseases, and diabetic eye diseases. The technology is invaluable for diagnosing and assessing without exposing the retina to visible light. Non-MYD cameras can be used by both optometrists and ophthalmologists for diabetic screening and early detection of glaucoma and other eye diseases where dilation is contraindicated. Follow-up exams for comparison to benchmark OCT or FA diagnostic results. Cursory exams where portability or expediency is an asset, such as in rural areas. And lastly, a possible future in telemedicine. Many patients have been relieved of the burden of FA, but complaints continue to come in. Results from a small informal survey conducted in February 2017 suggest that likely half of patients continue to endure FA unnecessarily. The results, along with ongoing helpline conversations, appear to imply that a number of patients with well-established diagnoses may still be needlessly undergoing routine high-intensity light exposure. As more doctors make the transition to updated imaging options, and as even better methods are developed for quicker, safer, and less unpleasant techniques, a greater number of patients may start showing up for their important annual exams. This, in addition to the benefits of the clinical practice, or to the clinical practice, could very well boost the success rates of early diagnosis and treatment. Until all patients receive the best available technology, it is up to the doctors to make the best choices, and their patients will benefit by being made aware of the feasible options. We complete this issue of the Magnifier with the following poem written by Cheryl Costello Forche, the title, The Most Beautiful Flower. A park bench was deserted as I sat down to read, beneath the long, straggly branches of an old willow tree. Disillusioned by life, with good reason to frown, for the world was intent on dragging me down. And if that weren't enough to ruin my day, a young boy out of breath approached me, all tired from play. He stood right before me with his head tilted down. He said with great excitement, "Look what I found." In his hand was a flower, and what a pitiful sight, with its petals all worn, not enough rain, or too little light. Wanting him to take his dead flower and go off to play, I faked a small smile and then shifted away. But instead of retreating, he sat by my side and placed the flower to his nose and declared with overacted surprise, "It sure smells pretty, and it's beautiful, too. That's why I picked it. Here, it's for you." The weed he gave me was dying or dead, not vibrant of colors, orange, yellow, or red. But I knew I must take it, or he might never leave. So I reached for the flower and sneered, "Just what I need." But instead of him placing the flower in my hand, he held it mid-air without reason or plan. It was then that I noticed, for the very first time, that weed-toting boy could not see. He was blind. I heard my voice quiver, tears shone in the sun, as I thanked him for picking the very best one. "You're welcome," he smiled, and then ran off to play, unaware of the impact he'd had on my day. I sat there and wondered how he managed to see a self-pitying man beneath that old willow tree. How did he know of my self-indulged plight? Perhaps from his heart he was blessed with true sight. Through the eyes of a blind child, at last I could see the problem was not with the world, the problem was me. For all of those times I myself had been blind, I vowed to see the beauty in life and appreciate what was mine. And then I held the wilted flower up to my nose and breathed in the fragrance of a beautiful rose and smiled as I watched that young boy, another weed in his hand, about to change the life of another old man. That completes The Magnifier, issue number 106.